Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick Hits. Charlotte's Web. The Permian Playhouse opens Charlotte's Web this Friday. Get tickets at basintheaterworks.org. Wildlife Workshop. Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, 3399 South Stockton Avenue in Monahans, has scheduled a wildlife workshop presented by game warden Joseph Hendricks at 5:30 p.m. today. To sign up or for more information, call 432-943-4112. Greatest Hits of Foreigner. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 in Midland, will present Foreigner today. Doors open at 7 p.m. Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser. The 9th Annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot Fundraiser has been scheduled Thursday and Friday at Wind Walker Farms Sporting Clays at 2551 County Road, C2801 in Stanton. Registration and check-in is 7:30 p.m. for both days. The event will include lunch and prizes. Dementia Care on the South Plains. The Alzheimer's Association West Texas Chapter, Lubbock, working in collaboration with partners, will present the 2022 Education Conference, Dementia Care on the South Plains, at 8:30 a.m. Thursday at the Kipling Education Conference Center and Covenant Medical Center, Covenant Medical Center West, parking garage, 6th floor at 21st Street and Louisville Avenue in Lubbock. This year's conference will aid families and professionals who care for individuals with dementia understand the underlying progression of the disease along with possible treatment pathways. Included will be a town hall forum where community leaders from healthcare, government, first responders, and others will hear from the community on the state of dementia in the South Plains, gaps in service, and barriers to access care. For more information, call 432-570-9191. Spring Craft. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Spring Craft at 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday at the library's activity room in the basement, 321 West 5th Street. Fundraiser Dinner. An evening benefiting the Life Center with Speaker Jonathan Evans will take place at 6:30 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Taste of the Permian Basin. The Texas Restaurant Association has scheduled Taste of the Permian Basin from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday at the Midland County Horseshoe Pavilion, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Sponsor preview party will take place from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. and general admission will be from 6:30 to 8 p.m. More than 30 Permian Basin restaurants will feature the best desserts in the area. General admission is $40 in advance or $50 at the door. Sponsorship opportunities are available. No strollers or carriers will be permitted. For tickets or more information, call 432-563-5233. Annual Honors Recital. Odessa College Visual and Performing Arts will present the 8th Annual Honors Recital featuring the music program's Outstanding Student Performers at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Jax Rogers Auditorium, OC Campus, 201 West University Boulevard. Admission is free. Casey Donahue Concert. The Phyllis and Bob Cohen Performing Arts Series will present Casey Donahue with opener by Jana Kramer at 7:30 p.m. Thursday at Midland College, Al G. Langford Chaparral Center, 3600 North Garfield Street in Midland. The event is free and open to the public. HEB partners with TPWF to enhance conservation in Texas by OA News. Due to a new partnership with HEB, Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation will be able to do more to conserve the state's wild things and wild places, a news release stated. The Texas grocery retailer will donate a portion of all sales proceeds from its Field in Future by HEB line of sustainable products to support TPWF's effort to conserve the state's wildlife, habitat, and natural resources. HEB is an iconic Texas company, and this new partnership with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, our official nonprofit partner, is incredibly exciting, Carter Smith, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department Executive Director, stated in the press release. It's fitting that the Field and Future line of products will benefit conservation products across Texas, and we're deeply grateful for this new partnership. Field and Future by HEB, which the company launched last year, is an environmentally minded brand of household, personal care, and baby products, the press release detailed. The brand is made with recycled or recyclable content, biodegradable formulas or plant-based ingredients, and without over 165 harsh chemicals. Currently, there are nearly 100 Field and Future by HEB products on the shelf, including dish soap, body wash, bath tissue, baby diapers, as well as trash bags and bags for recyclables, which are made from up to 65% and 30% post-consumer recycled plastic from HEB facilities, respectively. We know HEB and our customers have a shared commitment in protecting the land, water, and air of Texas for generations to come, Wendell Heron, HEB Group Vice President of Public Affairs, Diversity, and Environment Affairs, stated in the press release. With our Field and Future by HEB line, we are able to deepen our long-standing partnership with Texas Parks and Wildlife and further our shared goals of environmental sustainability and conservation of our beautiful state. TPWF supports a wide range of conservation projects across the state, including coastal conservation along the Texas Gulf Coast, black bear restoration in West Texas, and the establishment of Palo Pinto Mountains State Park in North Texas, the state's newest state park expected to open next year. Since 1991, TPWF has invested more than $220 million in Texas conservation projects, and this significant commitment from HEB will enable us to do even more to conserve the wild things and wild places of Texas for future generations. Mike Green, TPWF Board of Trustees Chairman, stated in the press release. We are honored to partner with a company that has been beloved by generations of Texans and look forward to working with them to make Texas a great place to live and enjoy the outdoors. Inaugural downtown art tour takes place Friday by OA News. The inaugural downtown art tour, a partnership between Downtown Odessa Incorporated and Odessa Arts, takes place Friday. Community members are invited to buy a ticket to go on a 7-stop walking tour of downtown, beginning at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, a press release stated. At each stop, participants will experience a different artistic demonstration ranging from music to live theater to screen printing. In addition to the artistic demonstrations, participants will receive a commemorative T-shirt, 2 alcoholic beverages with non-alcoholic alternatives available, a mini funnel cake from Cliff's Food Wagon, a Spanish chicken empanada, vegetarian alternatives available from Tasty Bones Rollin' Kitchen, and a swag bag full of goodies. Tours begin at 6 p.m. with a group leaving every 20 minutes. Advanced registration is highly recommended as tickets are limited and likely to sell out. For more information, go to www.downtownodessatx.com/art-tour. Early voting starts Monday by OA News. Early voting begins Monday and ends on May 3rd for the Ector County ISD Bond and Constitutional Amendment Special Election. Voters are welcome to call the election office for location information. In Odessa, the number is 498-4030, and in Midland, it is 688-4890. Big Bend Road Racing Revving Up by OA News. Fort Stockton. The annual Big Bend Open Road Race on U.S. Highway 285 between Fort Stockton and Sanderson is scheduled Saturday with practice beginning today. The 118-mile round-trip road race will close off U.S. Highway 285 to all other traffic from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday. Motorists will need to find other routes for that period of time. Practice sessions are scheduled for 9 a.m. to noon and 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. today and Thursday. Those practice runs will shut down nearly 9 miles of U.S. Highway 90 from just west of 3 Mile Bridge starting at Highland Place and going to the roadside park west of Sanderson. There will be gaps in practice every 20 or 30 minutes to allow regular traffic to go through, but alternate routes are still suggested. Law enforcement will be present for the practice runs and the race itself. Likewise, ambulances and EMTs will be available. A parade is also scheduled at 5:30 p.m. Friday in Fort Stockton. The parade route is basically starting at Rooney Park, heading north on Main Street, and then west on Dickinson Boulevard, also known as Business Interstate 10. The race has 5 divisions. 4 divisions are conducted in rally-like fashion, which means the closest average to the class wins. For example, whichever driver posts the closest average speed to 120 miles per hour in the 120 class wins that class. The unlimited division is more traditional race. The fastest driver to complete the 118-mile loop wins. Cars regularly exceed 1,200 miles per hour in this division. The record top speed was set in 2002 by Dave Golder with a speed of 220.8 miles per hour. For more information about the race, visit the race website at bborr.com. Odessaman.com. Odessa Man Charged for Suspicious Device Hoax by OA News. An Odessa man was charged last week on a federal criminal complaint for his alleged involvement in a hoax concerning the Ector County Courthouse. According to court documents on April 7th, 37-year-old David Paul Finnegan left a suspicious device at the front steps of the Ector County Courthouse. The device consisted of a large PVC pipe containing miscellaneous objects. It was held together with black tape and had a wristwatch taped to it. Further investigation showed Finnegan was scheduled to be sentenced at the courthouse the day he planted the device. As a result of its discovery, the Ector County Courthouse had to be evacuated and shut down to the public for much of the day, causing various court proceedings to be postponed, including Finnegan's sentencing. Finnegan is charged with one count of perpetrating a hoax. If convicted, he faces up to 5 years in prison. A federal district court judge will determine any sentence after considering the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. Finnegan had his initial appearance today before United States Magistrate Judge Ronald Griffin, U.S. Attorney Ashley C. Hoff of the Western Division of Texas, and FBI Special Agent in Charge, Jeffrey R. Downey, El Paso office, made the announcement. The FBI, with valuable assistance from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the Ector County Sheriff's Office, Odessa Police Department, and the Texas Department of Public Safety, is investigating the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney John Frederick is prosecuting the case. Fire Destroys Vehicles by OA News. A local homeowner lost three vehicles in a shop fire Sunday night. Odessa Fire Rescue Assistant Chief Rod Huber said firefighters were summoned to a home on Alcove Court around 6:15 p.m. Sunday after a large shop behind the home caught fire. It took 20 firefighters approximately 70 minutes to get the fire under control, but firefighters were able to save both the house and the one next door, he said. It would have kept burning house to house if there hadn't been a coordinated response, Huber said. The shop, which was approximately 50 feet by 30 feet by 12 feet in size, was completely destroyed, as were the three vehicles inside and living quarters, he said. An investigation as to the cause of the fire is ongoing. Accused gunman claims self-defense by OA News. An Odessa man who was arrested Friday night in connection with a fatal shooting turned himself in and told police he was acting in self-defense. An Odessa Police Department report details officers were called around 8:20 p.m. about a shooting at a convenience store at 1000 North Dixie Boulevard. And when they arrived, they found 49-year-old Sean Michael McCracken, a local transient, dead in the parking lot. A short time later, Isaiah Dominique Retriera, 26, called 911 and said he was at the Boys and Girls Club on East 13th Street. He told police several times that he'd shot McCracken and McCracken had assaulted him. After he was read his rights under Miranda, Retriera told officers McCracken had approached him and hit him in the face several times, according to the report. Obituaries. Artie Frank Everett, Odessa. Artie Frank Everett was born on July 23, 1941, in Coalinga, California, to James Floyd and Nora Marie Everett. Artie passed away April 16, 2021 in Odessa at the age of 80. Artie is preceded in death by his parents, his infant son Terry, his brother James, and sister Josephine. Artie's survivors include his wife Sabrina, his brother Bobby Everett of Woodward, Oklahoma, and his children Debbie Everett Andrews and Harvey of San Angelo, Lisa Everett Armendariz, and Benny of Bartsville, Oklahoma, Scott Everett of Odessa, and Chad Everett and Cosette of Odessa, as well as 8 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. Visitation will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday, April 20th, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, April 21st, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Mayo Clinic Kidney Transplant Research Program or Flo's Grand Endowment of Grand Companions Humane Society. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Funeral Gardens. Bobby L. Johnston, Odessa. Bobby L. Johnston passed away on Easter Sunday, April 17, 2022, in Odessa, Texas. Visitation will be 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wednesday, April 20th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 21st, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Bobby was born in Pampa, Texas, to Russell M. Johnson, Jr. and Glenna J. Johnston on Easter Sunday, April 9, 1950. Bobby is preceded in death by Russell M. Johnston, Jr., his father, 2003, Glenna J. Johnston, the mother, 2006, and Karen K. Squires, sister, 2020. Bobby is survived by brother David Johnston and his spouse Elaine, sister Judy Shields and spouse Doug, sister Julie Johnson, and many nieces, nephews, and cousins. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Death notices. Kiefer Patrick Gears, Odessa. Kiefer Patrick Gears, 33, died Thursday, April 14th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Sherry Lynn Harkness, Odessa. Sherry Lynn Harkness, 40, died Friday, April 15th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Carlos Hernandez, Odessa. Carlos Hernandez, 52, of Odessa, died Tuesday, April 12th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 11 a.m. April 22nd at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Matthew Kelvin Martindale, Gardendale. Matthew Kelvin Martindale, 54, died Thursday, April 14th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage of Midland. Jeffrey Todd Murray, Midland. Jeffrey Todd Murray, 49, of Midland, died Wednesday, April 13th, in Midland. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage of Midland. Celia R. Rodriguez Terrazas, Crane. Celia R. Rodriguez Terrazas, 87, of Odessa, died Monday, April 18th, in Crane. Memorial service is scheduled for 4 p.m. Wednesday, April 20th, at Martinez Funeral Home. Burial will follow on Thursday, April 21st, at 9 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home of Odessa. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. In most cases, leave surgical hardware where it is. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 75-year-old female In 2012, I broke my ankle and they put in a plate and 6 screws on one side and 1 screw on the other side. I've been reading that one should not leave the screws in for the rest of their life because it could cause problems with the bones, causing arthritis. I can touch and feel the screw heads. The only problem is buying shoes that aren't too high to rub or when I sleep positioning my foot. If the screws are removed, there will be a hole where the screws were. Will they fill the hole with a filler, or does the bone grow back and fill the holes? What if I get an infection after surgery? Or should I just leave them in? Answer. In general, surgical hardware should be left in unless there is very good reason to remove it. Probably the most common reason to remove hardware is infection, which it doesn't sound like you have. Infection is infrequent, but is most common right when the hardware is put in. Removal of hardware has its own potential for complications. Pain and joint stiffness are possible after surgical hardware placement, although that doesn't mean the hardware is causing the problem. The ankle fracture itself can predispose to developing arthritis in that joint. When people have pain at the side, that might be due to the hardware. They should discuss the option of removal with the surgeon. If there are no problems at all, the hardware should be left in. The holes in the bones from the screws are repaired by the body's own process. The materials that are used are designed to be left in.
This is the Dear Abby column. Glib food comment eats at woman who's battled weight. Dear Abby, I had weight loss surgery 3 years ago and lost 134 pounds. 2 years later, I traded addictions and became a problem drinker. During this time, I met a man, but my drinking came between us and we broke up. I stopped drinking 3 months ago. He contacted me, and when he found out I had quit drinking, we had lunch and talked, and we are now dating again. After a week of dating, he said, "I notice you are eating more than when we dated before. Have you stretched out your stomach?" I said, "No, because I'm no longer drinking. I now eat 3 meals a day." He said, "I sure don't want you to gain back all that weight you lost." My feelings are very hurt, and I'm even a bit angry. I really do like him. What should I say to him that will convey my feelings? I want to stand up for myself without being crass. Signed, Trying Again in Arkansas. Dear Trying, the next time you are face to face, say, "I would like to revisit something you said to me recently. You said, 'Have you stretched out your stomach? I sure don't want you to gain back all that weight you lost.' It was really hurtful. Surely you know I don't want to gain back all the weight either, nor do I intend to. But if eating healthfully means I'll carry a few more pounds than I did when I was drinking, you will either have to accept it, or I will have to stop seeing you." Dear Abby, my daughter is having a small wedding. I have one sister that my daughter and I speak with who is invited to the wedding. I have another sister who hasn't been in contact with my daughter in 20 years. We have minimal contact. The invited sister is now threatening to give her invitation to my other sister. Have you ever heard of such a thing? She feels that no matter what, family should be invited, and she has taken it upon herself to invite our other sister to the wedding. How do I handle this situation? Signed, Mother of the Bride. Dear Mother, tell the sister you are still speaking to that when an invitation is sent, it is intended only for the individual whose name appears on the envelope. Contact the sister you speak to rarely and explain that your daughter's wedding will be a small one and since she hasn't been close to your daughter in 20 years, she is not on the guest list. If that doesn't do the trick and she crashes the wedding, don't make a scene. Seat her in the back and explain politely that because she wasn't invited, no accommodation has been made for her at the reception. Focus on your daughter, on her big day, and avoid any backstage drama. Dear Abby, I'm 69 and a retired military man. My wife passed away almost 2 years ago. I'm very fond of a single neighbor who is 30 and has 2 children. She has been inviting me for supper at her house at least 3 times a week, and when I leave, we hug. I'd like to kiss her, but I don't know if I should ask first or tell her I'm getting attached to her. How do I find out if she has feelings for me? Signed, Puzzled in the South. Dear Puzzled, a way to do that would be to say, I'd like to kiss you. How do you feel about that? Then, be prepared for the answer either way. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.